Half a million Americans have turned to Obamacare during the pandemic. So why does the Trump administration want the Supreme Court to strike it down? From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore in for David Brancaccio. The Trump administration is asking the Supreme Court to throw out the entire Affordable Care Act, the whole thing. The stakes couldn't be higher for millions of Americans who get coverage through Obamacare and for the healthcare industry, which has restructured itself around the 2010 law. Marketplace's Nova Sappho is here live with more. Hi, Nova. The Supreme Court previously ruled that Obamacare is constitutional. So what is the Trump administration's argument now for getting rid of it?
Well, the argument goes right back to that original Supreme Court decision, which found that Obamacare was constitutional because it was a tax. People had to have coverage or pay a penalty, the so-called individual mandate. Well, in 2017, when the Republican-controlled Congress passed tax cuts, it effectively got rid of the individual mandate by setting the penalty for not having health insurance at 0%. The argument now is that since there is no penalty, then the ACA no longer is a tax and the whole law is invalid. Now, this argument prevailed in a federal district court in Texas, and that ruling was upheld in an appeal. The Justice Department also supported repeal back then at the appellate level. Now the Supreme Court is taking up the case in its next term.
What happens, you know, if the argument prevails?
Well, a decision likely won't come until next year. And when it does, if there's a repeal, it would have a lot of ripple effects. For one, there are more than 20 million Americans insured today under the Affordable Care Act. If they lose coverage, that could cost hospitals $50 billion by one estimate. Healthcare spending as a whole is about 18% of the nation's gross domestic product. The ACA brought on a complex web of premium subsidies, payment structures and taxes, and changes to how insurers operate. The most famous example, of course, is the ban on using pre-existing conditions to deny coverage. Some 130 million Americans benefit from that now, and that would all go away.
All right. Marketplace's Nova Sappho, thank you.
You're welcome.
More than 39,000 new cases of coronavirus were reported in the U.S. just yesterday, a new record. Some businesses are shutting down again. Apple has ordered the reclosing of 18 stores in the U.S., including 7 stores in Houston because of spiking coronavirus. Texas Governor Greg Abbott said yesterday he was pausing the reopening of the state, but he said he's not telling any business to reclose. From Austin, Marketplace's Andy Euler reports on how businesses and consumers are navigating all this as COVID-19 continues to spread.
Among Texans who have been tested for COVID-19 in the past week, about 1 out of 10 have it. Marilyn Felkner teaches public health at the University of Texas at Austin.
As you look at the trends and then you look at our openings, you can see some patterns there, and they're not surprising.
Since May, the governor has gradually pulled back social distancing requirements. She says each time, Texas sees an uptick in cases. Right now, most businesses, including bars, can operate at 50% capacity, but rules vary by city. Depending on where you are in Texas, you might be required to wear a mask, which leads to confusion among consumers and business owners. Justin Yancey is president of the Texas Business Leadership Council.
Businesses need to be able to get back open, but we're not going to be able to unless business owners and then every Texan take seriously the fact that this is in some ways in our own hands.
The governor said yesterday, quote, "The last thing we want to do as a state is go backwards and close down businesses." But he may have to do just that if the trend continues and COVID-19 keeps spreading. In Austin, I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
All right, let's take a look at the numbers. The FTSE in London is up 1.5%. S&P and NASDAQ futures are up in the 1 to 2/10% range. The Dow futures down 0.2%. That's 43 points. 10-year Treasury yield is at 0.677%. Big weddings are not exactly an option this summer. Some couples are okay with Zoom weddings, others are not. And some are saying, forget the ceremony, let's just elope. Sue Carpenter has more on love in a time of corona.
Emily Hopkins and Ryan Rohr got married June 12th, like a lot of engaged couples this year.
We were going to have a semi-big-ish wedding, so around 100 people at a winery.
But as the coronavirus crisis worsened in April, the Los Gatos, California couple decided to do a smaller ceremony instead.
With my family living in Arizona and things kind of starting to open up, we thought we might have an option to do it there and just do it in their backyard.
They did something called a planned elopement, a more intimate ceremony, usually performed in a natural setting with a handful of attendees. The nature of elopement is evolving. What used to mean a wedding held in secret, often at a government building, now encompasses small planned events. Hopkins had considered a civil ceremony at San Francisco City Hall, but it wasn't available. Many government offices that perform weddings are backlogged because of COVID-19. Janessa Williams is co-founder of the Boise, Idaho company Simply Eloped.
For the folks that had a large wedding planned that are reaching out to us, they're looking to get it done pretty fast.
Couples want to get married quickly as states ease up on stay-at-home orders, knowing restrictions could be put back in place if the pandemic worsens.
People are really taking advantage of these markets opening up and just jumping on it for fear of the unknown in the future.
There is a financial advantage to elopement. According to the wedding website TheKnot.com, the average wedding in 2019 cost $34,000. Eloping is often just a couple thousand bucks.
There's no more cookie cutter wedding.
Roberta Correa is editorial director of Brides magazine. She says that couples are stepping away from more traditional weddings, but celebrations haven't gone away.
People are choosing to elope and celebrate later.
Which is what Emily Hopkins and her new husband intend to do. Freshly married in a backyard, they plan to have a big party at some point in the future. In Los Angeles, I'm Sue Carpenter for Marketplace.
Our executive producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer is Alex Schroeder. Our engineers are Brian Allison and Jay Siebold. And in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.